So the water baptism, the chapel, or the baptism chapel is actually happening on May 13th in the evening. Those of you who have returned your letters to me, you need to be putting your name on the sign-up sheet outside the hub for our chat, and we need to do some videoing and stuff. And that starts actually today at midday. So if you've not done that, then make sure you do that as soon as possible. If you still want to get baptized, can you need to come and see me. If you've not returned a letter, then come and chat, and that would be great. The other thing I need to let you know about is next week on Thursday is our last home game, rugby home game against IMAC. So we're doing well right now, and not saying right now, that's not very faith-filled. We're doing well. We've not lost yet, so we're hoping that continues. But next week is our last home game, so I thought it'd be good if we had a bit of a spirit day. So I think some of the girls and stuff are going to be organizing some things, so feel free to come and watch us and enjoy and get dressed up and whatever else. That would be great. Okay, I read an interesting story this last week that happened in 1990, March 9th. It's actually in the Washington Times, where Officer Filbert, motorcycle Officer Filbert, just like saying Filbert, a car went driving past, and he noticed that there was something attached to the car. So he jumped on. Well, I don't know that he jumped on, actually, but he went after the car, and the car wasn't going particularly fast. It was getting to speeds of about 25 to 35 miles an hour. And as he got closer, he realized that what was actually attached to the car was a dog. His leash had got caught in the back door of the car, and as he flagged the car down, the couple jumped out in massive panic and started shouting, "Tattoo! Tattoo!" So either they were thinking about what tattoo they wanted to get, or the name of the dog. It was a little basset hound, 8-month-old basset hound called Tattoo. What happened was is that while the wife had asked the husband to help put something into the car so to make sure that Tattoo wouldn't run off, they put his leash and shut his leash into the door so he wouldn't run off, and then promptly forgot that he was there. The newspaper actually says, just to release everybody from the whole cruelty side of things, that even though, and quote, you can actually it's on Google for the actual print off of the newspaper, that even though it says that his legs were going really fast, I mean, how big are basset hound legs? I mean, they were going incredibly fast, and there was lots of rolling going on. Apparently, Tattoo was only slightly injured, and was recommended to go to the animal hospital. Woo! I'm fairly sure when Tattoo got up that morning, saw the leash and got excited about the prospects of what was happening that day, that he didn't envision that it was going to involve flying down at 25, 30 miles an hour. How many kilometers an hour is that? Like 40? I don't know. Is it around about 40 kilometers an hour? The speed, his legs, if they weren't start off that big, they'd certainly end up that big, I don't know. And he had no idea that that's what the day held for him. He would have been excited as only 8-month-old puppies can be excited. So don't try that at home. When I first became a Christian, I was excited about what lay ahead. I remember the morning after really surrendering my life to Jesus. It was like that excitement that I'd never felt before. I saw things clearly. There was just a purpose and a wonderfulness of life that I didn't have before. And then it's almost like my leash gets caught in the car door of whatever and starts flying down through life. And I feel like all I'm doing is running and falling and getting myself back up and trying to keep up. Whether that car be like symbolic of a habitual sin or things that I get caught up with, things that I just seem to never be able to get released from. I feel like there's times when all I seem to be doing is running, and it's exhausting and it's confusing, because I read my Bible and it says that I should be growing more and more like Christ every day. And I read the good parts of the Bible. It says about joy and peace and all these wonderful things. And then I look at my life at times, and it's like all I'm doing is holding on. All I'm doing is holding on. Then you have some well-meaning Christian who comes up, who's clearly been to a visit to the Christian bookshop recently and bought themselves a mug with a cute quote on the side, then says to me, "You know, Glenn, you just need to let go and let God." Well, thank you. You know, I've got a mug that says I need to poke you in the eye. You know, or, you know, you just need to trust in God more. Stop trying. Start trusting. Just makes me mad. So what do? Do I let go of my Christian life and not work so hard? Because if I'm working hard, then that means that I'm trying to earn God's love, and that's not what grace is about. I don't want to be doing things like reading my Bible and praying and doing stuff just so that I'm doing stuff. That's not what Christianity is about. So should I let go of all this and just let God, whatever that means? Or then I'll have another well-meaning Christian friend that says, "No, Glenn, you need to obey more. You need to get up at 3:30 in the morning, you start reading that Bible for 3 hours, and then pray for every missionary that you can think of all around the world twice. Then you can go and have your coffee and get on with the day. Then God, then you'll start growing. Then you'll start not feeling like you're being dragged through life." So I'm confused. Which is it? Which is it? It's exhausting. It's confusing. Well, thankfully, superhero Apostle Paul, complete with cape, wasn't confused. Philippians chapter 2 says this, verse 12. "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." See, these two verses, I think, hold the key to the way that Christian life should be led. It talks about things that we need to do and things that God has done. There's two parts to it. It's our part and God's part. But you see, Paul starts with the word "therefore," and what he's doing is he's referring back to previous in Philippians 1 and 2, where he's expressing how incredible a gift and sacrifice Jesus Christ made on the cross. He explains the gospel, and then he says, "Because of that, therefore, my beloved," he loves them, and this is the most loving thing he can say to them right now. He says, "As you have always obeyed, I recognize how you're working hard. I recognize that you're trying to do the things that you should be doing. Keep going with that. So now, not only when I'm with you, but even when I'm away from you," so not just when I'm around, "you need to be working out your salvation." Working out your salvation. See, when I first read that, it causes me to stumble a little bit, because I'm like, okay, hang on a second. It says that faith is not by works. There's nothing I can do to make Jesus Christ love me more. So what does it mean, work out my salvation? I thought my salvation was in the hands of God. Well, it doesn't say work for your salvation, because that's what Jesus has already done. It says work out your salvation. It also doesn't say sit around and wait for God to do stuff in your life. You don't really need to do anything at all. Just relax. Don't worry about all that. God's just going to change you. It doesn't say that either. It says work out. I enjoy going to the gym. I go to the gym regularly, and it's just one of the things I really love to do. I remember the first time I went to the gym, how intimidating it is when you go into a place that's surrounded by mirrors with people flexing, and you know, and there's this apparatus around that you try and look like you know what you're doing when you go to it. You know, you just go to the nearest machine and start grabbing and pushing and pulling, and somebody tells you, you know, "Can you get out of the painter's scaffolding?" Oh, sorry. Yeah, or you go to the elliptical machine or the treadmill. We just got an elliptical machine, and I love the elliptical because it just moves everything. It's awesome. But it's one of those weird machines that your brain thinks you should still be doing it even when you've stopped. Have you had that happen to you when you get off and it's like, oh, you know, how many of you got an elliptical machine at home? How many of you use it? Yeah? Not clothes, hanging clothes on or anything like that. The thing with all these treadmills and running machines and ellipticals and fitness and everything else, it's hard work. You know, you get into a gym or you go and you see somebody and they're pounding it out on the running machine and they're going at like 13, 14 miles an hour and you get on it and you scrape yourself up to 6. It's like, and all you can hear is wheezing, and then the next thing you expect to hear is clear, you know, and because it's hard work. It's hard work. I've never seen anybody getting fit just standing there. I'm on a treadmill. I'm on an elliptical. Yeah, but you're not doing anything. Standing there is not going to get you fit. You can tell me, hey, I spent 3 hours on the elliptical machine this morning. Wow, it's awesome. Did you move? We have this working out aspect of our Christianity. And I would be doing you a disservice if I didn't tell you, guys, Christianity is hard work. And if you're not working at your Christianity, then you are not fulfilling what Paul is saying here is so important. We've got to work out our salvation. That's our part. We need to work at it. We need to make the effort. We need to avoid those things that pull us away from God. We need to be going towards those things that get us closer. It's a workout. It's hard work. And it does produce sweat and tears sometimes. We saw on the Thailand movie. Thailand, it was awesome, by the way. I loved it. I saw they're working hard. Part of the gospel is physically hard sometimes. Other times it's sacrifice, where you have to sacrifice the things that you really enjoy and love in order to do something that is bigger and better. But it's hard. You've got to work at it. So don't please sit there thinking that just sitting around waiting for God to change you is going to make you more like God, and that somehow you will stop getting dragged through life and the sins will just suddenly disappear. It doesn't work like that. There's a working out. That's your action. That's your part. That's what you do. Then we have this motivation. What's our motivation? I have a little bit of a pet peeve. Do you use that word? Peeve? I hate motivational quotes. I hate those posters where they've got some bloke in a kayak going across a really still lake, the sunset going behind them, and it's got success underneath it. And I tried to find some really cheesy ones. Life is not about waiting on the storm to pass. It's about learning to dance in the rain. That's beautiful. It is. It's very true. It brings tears to my eyes. This is nice. Sim, you'll like this one. The earth... I don't know if I'm going to be able to get through this. The earth is like a beautiful bride who needs no man-made jewels to heighten her loveliness. I like these motivational quotes. The secret to success is knowing who to blame for your failures. I like that. I like that one. I like this one. For every winner, there are dozens of losers. Odds are you're one of them. Failure. Failure is when your best just isn't good enough. And this is brilliant. This is brilliant. I'm going to print this off and put it somewhere. Wishing. When you wish upon a falling star, your dreams can come true. Unless it really is a meteorite hurtling towards the earth, which will destroy all life, that then you are pretty much hosed, no matter what you wish for, unless it is death by meteorite. I like that. Death by meteorite. Motivation. What's our motivation to work hard in our Christianity? It's fear and trembling, which is intriguing because they aren't nice words. There's two types of fear in the Bible. There's a fear that's mentioned in Psalm 111 where it says that fear, the fear of God, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There are some of you sat in here this morning that haven't surrendered your life to Christ, and yet you are aware that there is a God, and there's this kind of sense of fear in your life because there's that you're not sure. And maybe that's just the start of the wisdom, the start of God pulling you towards him. There's that kind of fear. Then there's the other kind of fear that talks about in this passage, the fear and trembling, which is a reverence. It's an honor. That because God has done so much for us, we honor him so much. There's this reverence towards him that our motivation to do that which is right, our motivation to work out our salvation, is because we love him and we honor him and we want to do what is right. And the incredible thing is, we can go back to Philippians chapter 2, please. It says, I'm skipping out the middle bit. I'm going to come back to it and say it's both to will and to work for his good pleasure. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. It's God who works the will inside of you. It's God who has placed that desire inside of you to do what is right. So you can't even take credit for that. God has put that desire to do what is right in your life. And so if you're a Christian here this morning, then that desire to do what is right has been placed inside of you by God. And so every day that we're aware that we're being dragged, just like Tattoo, and our legs are going, and we just don't feel like we're keeping up, we don't feel we ever get released from this habit or sin or thought life or whatever it might be, the good news is every time you're aware of that, that's God placing his thoughts inside of you, calling him, calling you to himself. It's a great, please don't ever say God doesn't talk to you. He talks to us all the time. Every time we feel that kind of little bit of awareness that we need to get things right, or we think about Jesus, or we think about the Bible, anything like that, that's God calling himself, calling you to himself. So our part is to work out. Our motivation is we're working out because we love God. So what's God's part? For it is God who works in you. What's God's part? In 2 Peter 1, verse 3, if we have that. 2 Peter 1, verse 3 says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. That his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. That as Christians, we've been given everything we need in order to live a life of godliness. God's part, our part is to work out with a motivation. And our motivation is to do what is right because we love God. God's part is that he has put inside of you as a Christian everything you need to live a life of godliness. He's given you every thought, every ability, every gifting that you need to live this life out. And often we go to God and we pray, God, change me in this way. Or God, give me more of this. And you know, sometimes it's a transference of responsibility because God has said, look, I've commanded you to go and do that. Go do. Go and use the stuff that I have already given you. Go do. And so we need to make sure that we are aware that God has given us a huge amount of ability. We have decision-making ability for what is right and for what is wrong in our life. And we need to choose. That's why the Bible gives us that consequence to our choices. God gives us that consequence. But God has given us that ability. Are we aware of that incredible work in our life? Our part is only possible because of what God is doing in us. You will never work yourself into heaven. You will never work yourself into the love of God. There's nothing you can do that makes you worthy. But that's why it's so incredible that it's everything God did in you, both to will and to work. We go back to Philippians again. To will and to work. So he's given us the desire. He's also given us the ability. And there's a scripture that says, everything that he has already started, he is faithful and he will complete. He will complete it. So I want you to know something this morning, guys. It's a really simple message. You ask me, do I need to work hard in my Christianity? Yes. Do I need to trust in God? Yes. Do I need to make every effort? Absolutely. The Bible says to strive. It says to work out. It says to train. It's an effort. Yes, we definitely do need to do that. Do I need to make sacrifices? Do I need to put myself second? Yes, and yes. Do I need to read my Bible faithfully, disciplining myself every day to do it? Yes. Do we need to pray? Yes. What's my motivation for all that? Because he died and loves you. It's not so you can be better. It's because those are the commands. And in the same way my kids enjoy, hopefully, doing things that I ask them to do, that there's some joy in that because it's an honoring thing and it's a loving thing. It should be the same way with God. So it's yes, we should make the effort. But know this, as a Christian, you have been given everything you need in order to succeed. Oh, that was cheesy. I didn't mean that. I didn't plan that. You've been everything you need in order to live that life. End up, that was a motivational quote. Makes me sad. So you feel that a car is dragging you along, Can you beat that sin? Can you beat that habit? Can you move to that next stage? Can you let go of some of that stuff? Yes, you can. But it's going to take effort on your part because of what God has done on his part. This is good news if you know him. Amber read before that you would know him and the power of his resurrection. If you know him and the power of his resurrection, like I said to you last week, it's yes, you can do it. If you don't know him, but you've sensed that calling from him, and maybe there's some fear in you about what that means, then I would plead with you and beg with you to think on that and surrender your life to that, because you will never, ever be fully fulfilled, and you will never succeed without that God working in your life. And worse, you will never, never come into a knowledge of him. And that ultimately leads to death. I'm just talking Bible. As depressing as that might be for some, and well, that's not very encouraging. It's the Bible. The encouragement is in Christ. All things are possible. What's impossible with you is possible in God. So that's what I want to pray about this morning, because I know that we all struggle. But somehow there's, in that struggle and that wrestle and in that tension, there's growth. Does that make sense? If we didn't struggle and we didn't have that tension in our lives and we didn't have that wrestle, we wouldn't grow in Christ. We wouldn't get to know him more. Maybe some of you are being forced on your knees to pray. Maybe that's God's plan. Maybe you need to go through that difficult time right now, because in that time is the growth. It's not meant to be a skipping through the daisies kind of life. You'll never grow. Let me pray for you. Jesus, I thank you for your sacrifice. And I thank you, Lord, according to this scripture, it is your good pleasure, Lord, to work in us, that you enjoy working in us so that we can do what is right, so we can obey. But God, I pray for the students and the staff who are struggling. And Lord, I pray that you would show us clearly what it is that we need to work at, always on that basis of what you have already done in our lives. I thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. I thank you, Jesus, that there is a therefore, that because of your sacrifice, that we can live a life of freedom. Lord, I pray for the students who are wrestling, their intention, they're finding it difficult right now. Lord, I pray that they could see you in it, and they would put time aside to center their minds and their hearts on you. And Lord, I pray for the students in the room who don't know you. And the Lord, they're doing everything they can to run away from that voice that they know is real inside of them. Lord, I pray there would be surrender and there would be submission and they would just give their life over to you. That they would know that power that can work in them for true life. We ask this in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Guys, you've listened really well. I don't think there's anything. Is there any announcements I've forgotten? Okay. No. Cool. All right, guys. Have a great. That's cool. Happy birthday, Josh. Okay. All right, guys. You are dismissed. Off you go.